This show is brought to you by Miami Grill. For over 30 years, Miami Grill has brought you big favorites from big cities, featuring authentic ingredients prepared fresh to order with the best cheesesteaks, wings, gyros, burgers, and more. Don't just bring dinner home, bring home Miami. Order online or in person. Pickup, drive-thru, dine-in, and delivery available at all locations. If you're craving it, they're making it. Bringing Miami Grill home has never been easier. With locations all over South Florida, check MyMiamiGrill.com to find yours. That's MyMiamiGrill.com to find Miami Grill. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick two, three, or four players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick two or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Chris Kaufman is here. Simon Clancy is not here because he's sleeping, because it's the middle of the night in London.
Envy him.
Yeah, it's too late.
By the way, it is not the middle of the night right here, but I still envy.
Yes. As you heard at the top of the show, Prize Picks is one of our sponsors. They have a great promotion this week, a 25% payout boost on MLB single stat entries. Of course, go check out all of the over-unders for the rookies this coming season. Remember, the promo code is 5FIVE. You get a match bonus up to $100. And as always, the official beer of 5 Reasons Sports Network and 3 Yards Per Carry is Biscayne Bay Brewing. Get it at Publix, Instacart, Total Wine. Just get it. And of course, Manscaped, 5RSN, 20% off. It's the best promotion we have. If you haven't used it, why not? You've used it, right, Chris?
Of course.
Game everything, right? Even including the ball toner.
Uh-huh. Like okay. The whole thing.
Perfect.
I was wondering, I might have to reload.
Yeah, right?
I mean, you're supposed to replace the blades, I think, or like in short order, right?
Yeah. Short order is a poor choice of words. But yes, supposedly every 6 months, if you have it, you know.
I thought it was more frequent than that. Okay.
Well, if it's, you know, it's regular use, like every 6 months, you have to replace the blades, you know?
If you're bushwhacking, then like.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, it's, you know, I don't know why we would have to tell people to replace those blades. Like, they'll notice, like, the first time you get a nick.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You're going to say, why did that happen?
We don't go there.
Yeah, why did that happen? Well, now you know why it happened, because you have to replace those blades. All right? 5RSN, 20% off. All right, let's start with some news. Dolphins put in a claim for Kerryon Johnson. Okay? He ends up with the Eagles. Am I right, Chris? With the Eagles?
The Eagles? Yeah, they got him. They got him away from
okay.
Us.
Is that an indictment of what they've done with the running back position this offseason, that they're trying to claim people like Kerryon Johnson?
No, I don't think so. I think if anything's going to be an indictment of it, it's just looking at the roster. you know, that's, I mean, we're all going to have different opinions on it. I know some people are, you know, now starting to like be all about Myles Gaskin. And they're starting to point out, you know, oh, well, if you track, you know, these weeks that he played, he was gaining yards this way and that, and he was, you know, one of the most dangerous backs out there and stuff. Okay. Yeah. All right. You know, that's fine. Yeah. I just, you know, they're clearly betting on him, but I don't think that they wanted to bet on him. So.
Yeah. And if you look at the free agent list, like, wow, like it's a who's who, you know. like take your pick.
What you mean, the still free agents?
Yeah, Todd Gurley is out there. Le'Veon Bell is out there.
Yeah, but Todd Gurley sucks. Le'Veon Bell can't play anymore. Like these guys that are out there, they can't play anymore. Like that's generally speaking. I think, you know, I just found it interesting that during the draft, when we're looking at it, yeah, after they tried to trade, and we all have said this several times, all of us believe and have been told that they tried to trade up to get either Najee Harris or Travis Etienne, depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah.
After that failed to happen, they basically acted like running back's not a need anymore. And I thought that was really curious, especially when they, you know, go ahead and take a tight end. And so I was floating around. I was driving my Twitter following nuts because I started floating like Mike Gesicki trade, you know, to people. He's in the last year's contract. You know, I'm not sure that his style fits with where they're going with Tua and with Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller. We'll see. Maybe it does. But, so I kind of wonder about that. I kind of wonder about how the rest of the draft, they just acted like running back isn't even an issue. You know, seventh round, at the end of the seventh round, they take a guy. It's, you know, I don't know that really counts. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out, but it's something else going to happen.
Yeah, something's going to happen. On the Mike Gesicki front, like, if you told me that he had, let's call it a mediocre season, 600 yards, you know, 5 touchdowns, you know, 50 catches or 60 catches or so, something like that, mediocre for what we're expecting. We're expecting him to push 800 and possibly 10 touchdowns this year with a full year of Tua Tagovailoa. If he has a mediocre season and then you told me that they just said, hey, you know, thank you for the 4 years you were here, but see you later, I'd believe you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a believable scenario. We're not saying that will happen. And
no,
obviously. So what I'm looking forward to with the current wide receiver, maybe we should talk about this more. But, I mean, what I'm looking forward to is just that we've got a lot of versatility. Because clearly, you know, with Jalen Waddle, Will Fuller, you've got speed. You got speed to beat them deep. You got speed to beat them, you know, horizontally. But then you've still got those big tall trees over there that can go in the red zone. Because for a while, that was a red zone package for us. You know, you're talking about Mike Gesicki, Preston Williams, and Devontae Parker, and it was a pretty effective one, I thought. You know, for stretches of the season, and then the people got injured, and it was started to struggle after that. But I thought that was a pretty good looking receiving unit for the red zone, and so you still have that. In addition to that, you have all that speed too that you can throw on the field between the 20s and really stretch the defense and get some drives going. But it's very versatile. I'm look forward to seeing how it all plays out. And Mike Gesicki is part of that, you know, a big part of that, because he's big threat in the red zone. So so he can help us this year. It's just, you know, if we're sitting here trying to run RPOs and we can't do the R part of it because, you know, Miles Gaskin is just not quite cutting it, or Savon Ahmed not cutting it, or Gaskin gets hurt again, and then we're down to, like, you know, Ahmed and Jared Doakes, and that's not working. You know, if we're sitting there and we're unable to get going again because of that, then somebody slap the people in Miami for this is 3 years in a row. I mean, come on, really? But anyway.
Yeah, and the theory goes, and, you know, Brian Flores has talked about it. He actually used the words that Jalen Waddle would help the run game. And in theory, when you have people like Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller on your squad, it should open up the running game. You're not going to get many big fronts, you know. So, yeah, of course. Like, in theory, it should help. But if your running back makes bad decisions, can't break tackles, you know, you're not going to get the returns you would like out of your running game. So, you know, I don't know. I just find it really curious that they're out there pounding the pavement for Kerryon Johnson, of all people, mm-hmm. to add another running back to this group, which kind of suggests to me, like, maybe they screwed up.
Well, what's going to really – the test is are we going to see consistency out of the running backs? Because, you know, as you say, they're, you know, we're going to be able to spread the defense out a little bit more. There's going to have to be some safety, some curious safety action with the with Will Fuller and Jaylen Waddle playing off one another. You've got, you know, you got RPO action, so – That can help the run. I mean, it's supposed to RPO and zone read type stuff. You know, you're supposed to, it's supposed to help freeze people. So, you know, it could help, but that doesn't mean it's going to be consistent. You know, it doesn't mean that it's going to produce consistent, you know, play to play. You're going to get what you need out of this play. And consistency is what you need to keep drives going, because, you know, what good is a drive if you're like, I'm successful on this, able to get my 4 yards here, and then we're able to get a first down here, and then I'm able to get, you know, my 7 yards here, and then, okay, oh, and then the run fails, and then, you know, we incomplete the ball on third down, and okay, we're punting now. You know, all it takes is like one run to go for like 0 yards, and it can really throw you off schedule, and so the consistency is what you definitely want to see from the ground game. And I have a hard time believing that we're going to get it with the talent in the backfield right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, and we tend to agree, and we will have shows where we break down every position group and how they could possibly be used. They are having a camp coming up soon, but you know, we won't be talking about that because I don't even think it's open to the media. But one thing we will talk about is Brian Flores essentially calling the rebuild over, which I found curious because usually coaches don't like to start the clock, but I guess he's starting the clock himself.
I'm surprised he didn't call that a year ago.
Yeah, to be completely honest with you, I made a tweet about it. It got a lot of likes. It was pretty popular on Twitter. And I agree with him. It's over. Like, the rebuild is over. Now, the development is still ongoing, but this is the team. Like, this is the team that this, the core of the hypothetical Super Bowl champion, next Miami Dolphins Super Bowl champion, is here. Like, this should be.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Basically,
if you look at the guys we drafted in 2019, 2020, and this year. Like, this is the core of the team. If we go to the Super Bowl, this is basically the core of that Super Bowl team. Or if we fail, then, you know, these are the, it's because these guys didn't work out.
Yes. So I guess excited, agree with him, first of all, or no?
Well, I'm going to set it on the draft podcast, you know, the post-draft. You know, one of the reasons that I'm okay with how they handled the draft is because this was all about today. This was all about this year, the draft that they had. And I'm so friggin' tired of waiting and being, you know, borderline irrelevant for the last 20 years that, that yes, I want this to be all about today. And, you know, I want this to, I want this, this better be a year where you compete for that. This better be a year where you get a playoff win for the first time since the Clinton administration. You know,
which is sad.
So yeah, isn't it?
It's extremely. Yeah, the Bill Clinton was in office the last time that they won a playoff game. It is sad.
True fact.
All right, we're moving on to the schedule. I know that's why you guys are listening to us, you know, and we're not gonna do that that Mike and the Mad Dog thing. You know, this is a win, this is a loss, and this is a win. We're not gonna do that stuff.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about? Mike and the Mad Dog, every single year, used to get the Jets schedule and the Giants schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have their schedule show. And they would try to predict the team's records by going, this is the win, this is the loss, and, you know, with their New York accents.
Mm-hmm.
And they would end up, okay, 10-6. And they would try to hold the team to that record for, you know, until they either achieved 10-6 or they didn't. That used to be like their thing.
Did they say 10-6 basically every year?
I believe so. Mike Francesa was a huge Parcells fan. So when Parcells was with the Giants, forget it. And when he went to the Jets, even, you know, forget that too. You know, like he couldn't do no wrong. But schedule is here and no Sunday night football game. And I guess that makes it what, 12 years in a row now without a Sunday night football game? Like if people only saw Sunday night football, they don't know that we exist. But they gave us two primetime games. And I guess let's start there. Like that's what did they give us? They gave us Thursday night football, November 11th at home. That's a good thing against the Ravens. Like that's favorable.
It better be at home against the Ravens because that can be tough. They're so tough. They're always so tough every time. Yes. They play.
I was watching some tape on Matt Skura, okay, our new center. And some of it is favorable. And I decided to look at a game where the Ravens played at Indianapolis last year because I wanted to see them against a quick defense. I wanted to see if Matt Skura looked like a clown trying to hit people that were mobile. And, yeah, sure enough, at a couple moments in time, you could see him reaching the second level and and falling down because he couldn't find anybody to hit.
Yeah, you know, but I forgive that, though, a lot more than some people do. You know why? Because you really have to just look at it. Like, look at him when you see an offensive lineman get out into that level. Right. You have to kind of look at them like, you know, kind of imagine them as like planetary bodies, you know, floating around in space and yes. see how the defenders have to move, you know, around them. It's not so much. It's not even like, yeah, you'd love it if he just like connect and plowed the guy over. But you have to see what they're displacing. And that, because that's their role, that's what they're doing out there. They have to displace people, because they, you know, they go around them. If they got a big wingspan, they're a big dude, they, you know, especially if they're quick and they can get out there fast, then they're going to displace a lot of defenders that otherwise might've had a different angle to the ball. And I think that's how you have to view it. You kind of have to, when you're watching it, yeah, it'd be nice, like I said, if he just pancakes the guy every time, but really it's a different function what you're looking for. And so it's not always the greatest sin. The guy is like, you know, this guy outquicked him. It's like, well, yeah, he outquicked him, but he also had to go five steps around to try to get to the ball.
But, yeah, I was watching that game, and it was the consummate Baltimore Ravens game. Like, you know, the game starts, the game ends, and you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute. What did I just see? Did they win 10-7? Did they win 10-9, 12-10? What happened? You look at the scoreboard and it's 21-10, and you don't know how you got there, but all you know is that the game started and the game ended. Like nobody knows how to, nobody breathes better inside of an NFL football game than the Baltimore Ravens. They just run out the clock from the opening gun, and it's just that running game. It's that running game that's relentless. And they didn't really run for a ton of yards. That kind of sounds
like what we were saying the other day about like Jason Tatum's games for the Celtics.
Yes.
Like he's, you know, it's just, no, ho hum. And then you look at the scoreboard and he's like, yeah, 33. Really? I don't remember a single one of those.
Yeah, that game, I watched it and I was like, I came away really unimpressed because there was nothing, you know, flashy. There was no 20 yard runs, it was mostly a bunch of 4 yard runs. And 5 yard Lamar Jackson scrambles. And then, you know, on 3rd and 1, they got 2 yards. And on 3rd and 3, they got 4 yards. It was one of those things. And at the end of the game, you're like, wow, that wasn't fun to watch at all. But the scoreboard says 21-10. And the Colts, who had a pretty, I wouldn't call it high powered, but well above average offense, were completely stymied. And they were essentially useless for that entire game as the score was 21-10. So Ravens getting them at home on a Thursday night is huge because you don't want to go to Baltimore. That's a house of horrors for the Dolphins. Primetime game is December 27th against the Saints. And before you start to dread that game.
No, Drew Brees-less Saints.
Yes, he retired. Jameis Winston is their quarterback.
Is he? Is it Taysom Hill?
I don't. If it's Taysom Hill, I'm calling it. We're winning that game. It's Jason. It has to be Jameis Winston, right? Like, there's no way, right?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you right now because
the fear is how much are they figuring out by then, right?
They're paying Taysom Hill quite a lot, aren't they?
Yeah, like $20 million for this season or something.
Yeah, that's quarterback money, dude.
Wow.
Is right. That's going to be a nice boost, morale boost for us, because, you know, holy shit.
Yeah, the fear is that they have an entire year to figure it out. The other thing could be, like, who knows? They could be horrific by then, and Sean Payton could just be saying, you know what? Let's go get our quarterback. Let's just end this season.
Oh, it could be, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's something that could be the case December 27th.
We got right, what's our cutesy, clever you know, term for Spencer Rattler, like, you know, for tanking for Spencer Rattler. We're gonna have to come up with that.
Be crap for Rattler.
We probably should put some thought into it, but instead of just bringing it up on air and then sitting here like for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, we got to make t-shirts.
And then we make t-shirts. That's
and sell them in New Orleans.
And then none of you buy them.
Yes. Yeah, those Tua t-shirts.
The Tua t-shirts flew off the shelf.
Yeah, like you know, that was really, really worthwhile. All right.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. All right. So we start the season, and okay, everybody was kind of excited today. I was bored to tears hearing that we're gonna play the Patriots in Foxborough again. Like, I'm done with that. We did that last year. And not only did week one.
I'm like, we have to play them every year, right?
Yeah, that's... but opening the season again, and not only are we opening the season again with the Patriots, but our week two opponent from last year repeats itself because we play the Bills again.
Oh wow, that's right.
At home. So we're redoing last year's start of the season.
Well, maybe we'll get a better result because last year didn't go so well.
No, it was 0-2.
Yeah. Like the Patriots actually just, I mean, it's not like they smacked us up and down the field, but it was just like one of those, it was exactly like your Baltimore Ravens game where it was just like physical, brutal. And then you look up and it's like, yeah, they pretty much just won. Like that's, there's nothing we can say about that. There's no like, oh, if only so-and-so had caught it, you know, no, they just pretty much won.
Yeah. Dolphins were down. I think they had the ball twice, down 14-10 in that game. And nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Well, that tells you all you need to know. So what do you make of this? Like, is this different? Because the odds makers seem to think that, yeah, it is different because the Patriots, let's go back a year. Last year, they were a 7-point favorite opening week against the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Even while missing all of those guys to opt out, all right? This year, they are a 1.5-point favorite to open the season against the Dolphins.
They're 1.5. Well, they are at home, but I guess. Are we going to see Mac Jones in that game?
I'm thinking that.
I'm really looking forward to that if that happens. anyway. they'll probably show up with Cam Newton. Well, I mean, the thing is we're gonna make fun. Oh, they're 1.5-point favorites. Well, yeah, they beat us in week one at their house last year too. You know, if there's one thing that we learned, it's that the Miami Dolphins team under Brian Flores have pretty much inherited what they had in New England, which is that they start off slower than they finish. And you know, and they start getting going as the season goes on. And that's not a recipe for winning on the road in week one. You know, it just isn't. So this one, people are going to be like, oh no, we should, that's an easy win. But I don't be so sure about that.
You know, what's interesting is that as I look at the lines for the year, how many games do you think they're going to be favored in? I'll give me a guess. Cause I have right here, the games that they're hypothetically favored in right now, the games that they're an underdog in, and they have one pick'em game this year. Can you give me a number? Favorite, underdog, pick'em games. Well, pick'em games, I've already told you, it's one. So
right.
Because you'll be shocked when I give you this number.
I'm looking at it. I think that they're going to be favored against... I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, 6, seven, eight. Yeah, that's a solid one. Nine. Okay. I'm gonna say they'll be favored in 9 of the games.
They're favored in 10 games. They're okay. Underdogs in 6, and there's one pick'em game. The pick'em
What's
game?
The pick'em.
The Saints game.
Really? I would have had that as a favorite. So no, I missed two that we're favored in. Okay.
They're a pick'em there.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, right. So to start the season against the Patriots, are you buying all back end? Is this like the worst start that you can have against a Bill Belichick team that has 4 months to prepare for you? Is that a bad thing? Or do they have to incorporate so many
players? No, the Patriots don't work like that either. The Patriots start out slow and then get going too. You know, we're both like that, the Dolphins and the Patriots. Traditionally, the Patriots are like that. So that's not it. That's really not it. It's the fact that if you're both like that, then the home team probably wins. You know, it's that's just kind of the way it is. I think it's a little bit more equal footing. You know, because neither team will have gotten going yet. And maybe when the Patriots start to get going, they just really don't have anything. But then again, you know, they're trying. They made some moves this year to try and get back on track. So it could be a good game, like a, you know, really beat them up, you know, edge them out kind of game. But I can see why Vegas is like having New England edging us out a little at home, and I just think it's equal footing. Home team probably has the edge.
Yeah, they're underdogs the first 3 weeks. Okay.
Yeah, I would expect that.
If they win, like let's just say it, if they win their first two games, like the win total could be ridiculous this season. It just can, because they're going to be favored 10 more times with a chance to win 12.
Sure.
And then one of the pick 'em games is the Saints. So that means that they have a legitimate shot at winning 13. Like, wow. Remember, there's 17 games this year, by the way.
So yeah, 13. I will not get used to that. But no, but consider this, though. You know, the recipe is here for exactly what we just talked about, which is that the Miami Dolphins under Brian Flores kind of start out slow, get going. Like, think of the first 5 games that they play, how many are they going to be favored in? 1 at home against Indy. That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
So they should go, according to, you know, the lines, and it never really works out this way, but they could be 1-4 to start the year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We'd all be like burning our jerseys at that point.
Well, considering our fan base, you know how they are. All right, week 2 we play the Bills, and the 2 games against the Bills, there's unless it's going to be cold on Halloween, but they play at 1:00. But September 19th and then October 31st, like, is this as good as you can get it? We get them over here in the heat, week 2 early in the season, when we should be relatively healthy, and Will Fuller will be playing in that game because that's his first game that he's eligible to come back. Like, if you could pick out the days, like, these are the days you would pick out, right?
Well, yeah, I think so. You want to, I mean, it's going to be cold up in Buffalo, even in week 8, October 31st. I think it's going to, you know, it's not going to be balmy. Yeah, it's not going to be balmy weather, but it, you know, it's probably not going to be a snowstorm either. So I think that works out very nicely for the Dolphins, probably.
Yeah, and if they're serious about being a contender, you got to split. I don't care how good the Bills are, you can't take a sweep. Teams that get swept inside their division don't usually do anything.
But this is a big one. This is a big one for Brian Flores to prove something, because I don't think he has one time in the 2 years that he's been here, in the four games, managed to stop Josh Allen from looking like a god against us. And this is before Josh Allen actually started doing that against other teams too.
and it's the spurts, Chris. It's the spurts. if you remember, forget that last game last year. That was just an embarrassment. That happens. Every team has one of those games where, you know, nothing goes right. We just happened to pick the game that we needed to win to make the playoffs where nothing went right. But remember the first time when they played the Bills, they had Josh Allen dead to rights. Remember, he almost threw an interception at his own 5-yard line that would have put us up almost 2 touchdowns. But then what happened? Last 5 minutes, all hell broke loose. It was a deep pass to Diggs and then a bomb to John Brown. And before you know it, we're down 7 points when we had a 7-point lead like 5 minutes earlier. So, yeah, they gotta control those spurts. I don't know how they do it. Maybe, you know, a change of philosophy or just better players.
I'm going to look this up right now. I want to see Josh Allen's career splits against
Miami. They should be ridiculous. I know he only has one loss. He has one loss, and the one where he ran around and then threw that ball short in the Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. And that one probably should have been – I mean, probably should have been caught. I mean, let's be honest. Like, it was catchable. Like, that guy could have gotten it. But
yeah,
wow, this is bad. He is 5-1, as you say.
I believe he threw 2 interceptions against Xavier Howard in that game, right, if I'm correct? Yeah, he did.
That sounds about right. He does have 4 interceptions in his 6 games against the Dolphins. So, okay. So 2 of them came in that one game. But he has 17 touchdowns.
Jesus.
So, touchdown passes, mind you. Touchdown passes.
How many yards rushing does he have in those games?
340. Wow. He has 20 touchdowns in the 6 games he's played against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, 20. They got to figure something out. They got to figure something out, because if not, nice. It's just going to be – because even Jim Kelly had a decade of, you know, of thwarting good Dan Marino Dolphin teams. Mm-hmm. But even then, Jim Kelly had some bad games. Like he had a 4-interception game once in Buffalo where the Dolphins beat the crap out of the Bills. 38-10 or something like that. So he had bad games.
He's got 114 passer rating against us. And he's run it's 340 yards rushing, but it's on 9.7 yards per carry.
Yeah, Jerome Baker, you know, be healthy for that game. I might even sit Jerome Baker against the Patriots to make sure he's ready to chase Josh Allen around. Like this, like it has to get in their heads already, right? Like every time this guy comes around, he's a menace.
Well, I think it has to get. I almost have to suspect that it gets in Brian Flores's head, because he's yet. I mean, he's had 4 whacks at him at this guy, this quarterback, and this is a defensive, you know, coach that does well planning against people, right? I mean, and defensive staff, Josh Boyer included. And they've had 4 cracks at this guy, and they have yet to take him down. Like, they've yet to even come close to taking him down as far as, like, his efficiency, his performance, his personal performance in the games have gone. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's sad. It's been sad. And so I kind of wonder if this is circled, you know, for Brian Flores, like, I'm going to finally take this son of a bitch down, you know, or what, because, you know, and Brian Flores, like, he does attack the quarterback. Like we talked about the Super Bowl where he won against Jared Goff. I mean, he attacked Jared Goff in that game. It was very specific. And then when we played Jared Goff, he again attacked specifically. It was Jared Goff. It was a very, you know, oriented towards him, and so he hasn't been able to do that a single time against this motherfucker. And so, you know, he's got law of averages.
Yeah, it has to happen. You know, it has to happen. And not only, you know, like let's say they win 13 games, all right, which means that they have 4 losses and 2 of them are against the Bills. I'll pronounce them dead. Okay. Because that would mean that the Bills probably won 14 games and they have no opportunity whatsoever or no shot whatsoever at beating Buffalo. So what are you going to do? You're going to have to avoid them throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, That's not how it works. You're going to have to beat Buffalo once. Why not at home week two? All right, moving on. How good are the Raiders going to be? I don't think they're going to be very good at all. I think Mike Mayock has to be on the way out there. They have these weird drafts, Chris. And I don't know if you have their last draft in front of you, but every one of their drafts, they always do something strange every single year. Like they're the smartest guy in the room type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but is that Mike Mayock or is that John Gruden? Because that's the elephant in the room.
Yes.
Is John Gruden, because that's who he is. He is I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm going to take this guy right now, you know, like,
yes.
Yeah. And, or just like pass on, you know, so-and-so because, you know, because he fidgeted with his hands too much in his meeting or something, like, you know, that's John Gruden, man. So I don't know. Like they drafted Alex Leatherwood at 17. And I know that's the one everybody's talking about, but Alex Leatherwood is, I think, really good. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they're going to regret that much, believe it or not.
Although you don't think it's weird that you get rid of four offensive linemen? You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, but like, it's if kind the of offensive like, linemen were shitty.
Like I was
well, not all. Rodney Hudson was not clearly, you know.
Yeah, and no, and the guy that went to the big giant guy, I keep forgetting his name. Giant guy that went to
That guy. I wouldn't touch that guy with a 10-foot.
What ball. Is his name? I keep forgetting it.
It's right. Just you made you know that's not that's your. I'm blaming this one on you because I remember this guy's name, and you have clearly made me forget.
Patriots depth chart. I'm typing. You can hear me. You can hear me typing, so this is the part of the show where you hear me.
It's Trent Brown. It's Trent Brown.
Trent Brown.
Trenton. Sometimes Trenton. Sometimes Trent.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I I don't like that treadmill stuff. And you hear it from our.
They should have never signed him for what they signed him for. That was the mistake.
Yeah. That they give him a ridiculous contract. Yes.
Yeah. And he's not that kind of player. You know, the Patriots did. They had grabbed him for like. I don't know. I forget what it was, but it was like $1 million or something like that. They grabbed him really cheap, or maybe they traded for him. I want to say they traded for him really cheaply from the San Francisco 49ers. I think when he was with the Patriots, he earned $2 million, $2 million. Right. So, and then he was thrown into the starting position because of an injury. And, you know, it was like, oh, wow, you know, this dude's awesome. And now all of a sudden he's a $15, $20 million a year player, according to the Oakland/ Las Vegas Raiders. And it's just such a stupid ass decision, because all you have to do is look at the guy and watch him play. I mean, listen, yeah, he's got a little bit sweeter feet than some of those mountain slow guys. But the guy can't move. He just can't move. He's humongous, and like I said, like he displaces a lot of water, you know, because people have to go around him. But that's all he is, man. And he's not worth it. He's just not. I wouldn't touch him. I would not touch him at all. I'm surprised the Patriots are having him back, to be honest.
And he's starting.
But think about this. Like, they had him at $2 million when he was there last time. And then he went to the Las Vegas Raiders or Oakland Raiders and made $15 million and $20 million. So he made $35 million, I guess, in the 2 years. And now he's back with the Patriots for $6.5 million, $7 million, $7 million, it looks like.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not so sure how good the Raiders are going to be. I do know that they have Kenyon Drake there, so it's going to be fun seeing him again.
That's cool. I like that. That's a good fit too.
Yeah, backing up Josh Jacobs, I think it's a perfect fit.
Oh man, Josh Jacobs is so good though. Yeah. I wish we could trade for him.
I wish we could trade for Kenyon Drake.
Oh, we've been there. I don't.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem. The problem is we've been there. But you know, I'll die on this hill. You know, I know. He was good in Arizona. I don't know why he didn't get
hit. At least you're not dying on the hill of what's his name? Kellen Ballage.
Oh, Kellen Ballage?
Yeah. But
where the hell is he anyway?
I don't know. good question.
I know he signed somewhere because I remember we were joking about it on a podcast. All right, moving on. We're not going to spend too much time on the Raiders. I don't expect them to be all that great. The offense could even be a favorite, but it's fun. It's Las Vegas, week three. Las Vegas in September, September 26th, you know, it's not as hot as you would think. It starts to cool down considerably. So
don't they? I mean, that they're in a dome, right?
Yeah, but they can open up also if they want to. They can open up the dome.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I don't think they have.
Yeah.
You know, it gets cold in Las Vegas around late October. And it gets, insanely cold, in December. Mm. All right. Moving on. And we go home and we're playing Carson Wentz and the Colts. Now, everybody keeps talking about this is a great roster. This is a good football team. I completely agree. I love their roster. That's a good football team. They had some defections on the offensive line, and then they signed Eric Fisher a couple of days ago for a one-year deal, $9 million. But I would give you this caveat. They were good last year. They took the Bills to the wire. They probably should have beaten the Bills. But Phillip Rivers was spectacular last year. Is Carson Wentz going to repeat that? Hmm. And if he doesn't, I'll submit to you, they're not going to be as good as they were last year.
Yeah, I think there's sort of a savvy and maturity to Phillip Rivers that is going to be missing with Carson Wentz, and I do wonder how that's going to work out for them, to be honest.
Yeah, so I would say the Dolphins are a decided favorite, and if you remember that terrible roster, beat Carson Wentz, the 2019 Miami Dolphins beat Carson Wentz at home. When the Eagles were trying to make the playoffs. So
I remember.
They have also, some history.
Don't they have, I mean, they got like, what's in their secondary now? Cause if you're thinking about the Dolphins now, think about what they just did.
Yeah.
You know, they just added Will Fuller and they just added Jaylen Waddle and they've still got Devontae Parker. They still, you know, so I'm the first thing I'm going to look at basically for any team that's facing the Miami Dolphins is their secondary, as I'm going to look at what they're working with in the corners and the safeties. And that's what I wonder about because with them, because, you know, I'm not seeing a set of super strong corners there.
Xavier Rhodes had like a decent,
but he's not there anymore, right?
No, he came back. He came back. He had a decent year last year.
Okay. What I was under should the happen is not there anymore.
Oh, he's not there anymore?
Or I was under that impression.
No, he's there. He's there because I have him on the official depth chart. Unless they didn't. You know, I'm
staring right at the roster. He's not there. But
yeah, because I'm looking at it right here. And yeah, he's back. It's their official. They did. They are, because people forget, Rockison did not start last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're promoting him this year. So he's starting this year, Rockison. So. You know, you're talking about the Nichols, Kenny Moore. They have some nice players. Like Julian Blackman is a really nice player.
Rockielsen wasn't really that great last year. He wasn't a success story necessarily. No. A rookie success story.
No, but he's getting promoted this year and he's playing. So that could bode well.
That could go either way.
Right. But what's interesting about this week is that this is week four, right? And Tom Brady is going back to New England week four, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to look ahead, but he's going to be coming off of playing New England and he's playing us at home. How juicy is that game October 10th? I don't fear the Bucks, although they're returning everybody. I just look at Tom Brady and I get warm and fuzzy because I know we beat that guy.
I have no warm and fuzzy about playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tampa.
You don't think Bill Belichick is going to soften him up the week before? Or you think he's going to run roughshod over Bill Belichick the week before?
I think there's a strong chance he runs roughshod over Bill Belichick. If anything, there's like a chance that we've got, you know, maybe.
That he goes on
but,
the.
But he's not going to look. He's not going to look past the Dolphins. Like, it's too early in the season.
Well, he knows that it's Brian Flores. Like, there's a connection there, right?
Yeah. And also, like, the Dolphins were, you know, a 10-win team. I mean, it's, you don't look past those. I'm not looking forward to that.
Okay, so you're thinking decided underdog. That's a rough spot. I just seen a mobile quarterback against our blitzing style defense. Our corners should be able to hold up against those wide receivers.
Yeah,
and if they do, it's a fair point. Get to Brady, you know,
it's a fair point. But I mean, it's just
that cannot be a game where our offense farts around for 60 minutes. It can't be. Like, they're gonna have to score. Yeah. Like, if they score 4 touchdowns, I feel good about the game. You know,
I just don't think our thing against stationary quarterbacks is necessarily like a trump card. Like, it's a factor. It definitely is a factor. If it were a trump card, I'd be more confident in this. But you know, we do have secondary weapons, but they have some significant weapons.
Yes, they do. And they're essentially bringing back everybody. So
yeah.
Okay, yeah. But it's the entire squad coming back. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm surprised that they gave us that 1 o'clock, you know, start against Tampa Bay. Like, I thought that would be a juicy matchup. Brian Flores versus Tom Brady. Tua Tagovailoa versus Tom Brady. The Super Bowl champs in the same state as the upstart Dolphins. I don't know. There's a lot of storylines, you know. But, hey, you know, 1 o'clock it is. All right, the following week, I think that there's a lot of juice in this game. And I don't think people are talking enough about it. Trevor Lawrence versus Tua Tagovailoa is fun. Only problem is that Trevor Lawrence has to go up against Brian Flores, and that's not going to be fun for him.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't agree. Like, it's a curious matchup for the London game. I think the only people that are going to care about it are people in London.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dolphins fans will care about it, and Jags fans will care about it, of course. And you know, Dolphins fans will really care about it because we're also anxious to prove that Tua Tagovailoa is an actually good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you know, and now he faces Trevor Lawrence. So yeah, we'll have something for this, but I think everybody else will fall asleep.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, rookie of the year. Just quick prediction. I would say yes.
He has offense. O'Roy. Is he going to get O'Roy? No, I don't think so.
Really? He has a lot of talent. Like, he could put up some really meaningless, gaudy stats.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
Huh? Okay.
I like him. Of course I like him. But
I think he could throw for 4,000 yards because he has a lot of talent on the outside. Marvin Jones, DJ Chark, like, there's talent there. You know, James Robinson, third down back, Travis Etienne. You know what I mean? There's talent there.
That's a hell of a third down back. There's talent. I don't see it happening. I really don't.
All right.
I mean, we'll see.
Then I guess we are playing the rookie of the year after that, which is Kyle Pitts, because we come back home to play the Falcons in their last-ditch effort. But it's a new coach. First-year coaches against an established guy like Brian Flores. I don't know. I would say the Dolphins have a pretty good advantage. I don't really have a feel on this Atlanta team. I know their defense is terrible. Their offense is extremely good. So, you know, we see that a lot. You know, I don't think
we're building.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to spend too much time in that game.
Yeah. We're going to be fine.
The following week is Halloween, and it's the Bills, and we already talked about that. November 7th, this could go either way. All right?
Why? Really? You're talking about the Houston game?
Yes, we come back home to play the Texans.
How could that go either way?
Well, because Deshaun Watson is a one-man wrecking crew against anybody.
Deshaun Watson's not playing a damn down of football for the Houston Texans this year.
Really?
Okay. Not a single down.
Okay, then 45-0 Miami.
Yes.
And this one.
That is what's happening. We will be playing Davis Mills, and he'll throw 3 interceptions against us.
Beautiful.
And I respect Davis Mills.
And I'll make a prediction, okay? I'm going to go out on my limb, and I'm going to make a prediction. This is the first game where Brian Flores benches Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, bullshit.
Because they'll be up – because the Dolphins will be up 38 to nothing going into the fourth quarter.
For the good reason. Maybe, but you know, at this point, I don't. Well, let me put it this way. If the start of the year goes the way Vegas thinks it's going to go, which is essentially 1-4, and then they start to turn it around against Jacksonville and Atlanta, and they might be taking a loss against Buffalo. I don't think Brian Flores is going to start pulling Tua Tagovailoa at the end of games just because they're winning. I think he's going to want him to show him he can handle things. I think he's going to want him to, you know, how often did Tom Brady really get pulled in New England at the end of games, you know, kind of early in his career?
Well, hardly ever. The only guy that happened to was Drew Brees. It happened often to Drew Brees.
Yeah. I'm just saying
that was Marty Schottenheimer.
I think, you know, I think he's a different breed. I think he's going to push. He's going to have him stay in the game. I think that's what I think is going to happen, even if we're up by 30.
All right. The next game is the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. We talked about that. And then we have the two matchups against the New York Jets, November 21st in New York. And we come back home. And that one's flexed December 18th or 19th to be determined. I've never seen that before, but evidently it's there. It could be a Saturday game. It could be a Sunday game at home, December 18th, 19th. There's nothing to talk about here. They got to sweep the Jets if they want to do anything this year. They're going to get a rookie quarterback. Zach Wilson is playing. His crazy mother will be in the stands. Yeah. 2-0 against the Jets. I think they're much improved. Like, do you see them
you sound like
stepping
Mike
up to bite anybody or no?
You sound like Mike and Mad Dog right now. Oh, yeah. The two Jets games. Those are going to be wins. Those are going to be wins.
You expect the Jets to step up and bite anybody this year? I don't think they're going to
be good. They are a division opponent, my friend. And division opponents have a way of doing that. You always got to be wary, especially we're playing them toward the end of the year.
Yeah,
they're going to start gelling a little bit. Their defense might start to gel a little bit under Robert Saleh. And and who knows where our offense is at that point. And also who knows what our injury situation is at that point. Because let's be fair, Will Fuller doesn't have a habit of staying healthy.
He found the good juice this year.
Yeah, well, and also to be fair, I mean, if you've watched a lot of Jalen Waddle in his college tape, he's a guy that tends to get nicked up. You know, during the games, you know, miss a couple plays. He was clearly on a pitch count with Alabama. It was as clear as day.
But we still have Iron Man Devontae Parker. So
yeah, definitely. And we got the original Iron Man right there, Devontae Parker.
And Preston Williams.
and a quarterback who also takes a lot of nicks and cuts. So I mean, you know, this is right in the prime area of the season for injuries.
Yeah,
because you have that way of like having an injury and then like, you know, you focus on getting healthy for the end of the year for the playoffs. And I don't know. We'll see about this.
Week 12, the Carolina Panthers come to town and Sam Darnold, old friend. We own that guy. Like, there's no chance in hell. I'll call it right now. There's not a chance in hell the Carolina Panthers are beating the Dolphins November 28th. Whole team is going to have to be injured.
I'd like to take a devil's advocate here, but I think the devil's taking a break.
Yeah. Dolphins own Sam Darnold. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They could be good, but Sam Darnold's just going to see the ghosts on the other sidelines, and that other sideline is going to be wearing the white, hopefully the throwback uniforms for that game, and that's it. It'll be over with. All he has to do is just see our logo, and he'll throw three interceptions. It's what Sam Darnold does against us. Yeah. All right. Week 13 is interesting because Giant fans travel, man. And, you know, unlike any other fan base, like those people just fill up our stadium. Every time I've been to a Dolphin game where the Giants come to town, man, they bring fans. This team is hard to get a handle.
Can any of those fans play quarterback?
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Because they're talented. Their defense is good. At the end of last year, they look like a real football team. They look like a dangerous, you know, competent football team. But Daniel Jones is their quarterback. I think this is the year they find out, you know what? We have a pretty good roster. We have a pretty good team. We probably could use a good quarterback. And this is probably the last year of Daniel Jones.
This is the year they find out that everybody hated the pick for a reason.
Yes. So Week 14 comes along, and it's the bye week, and it's the latest bye week in the history of the Miami Dolphins franchise.
Oh.
Good thing or bad thing? I think it's a great thing, right? Like, that's, this is when, like, if you could draw up the week that you want a bye week, you want week 14. Or week 17. I would want to week 17, just in case we need that last game to make the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll have, I mean, 2 weeks when you, to prepare, that's when, right? You really want the bye, right? But I don't know, man. Like, who knows? Who knows what the bye and, like, what that means? It could be a nice break if we're going through some injuries right then. But who knows when we're going to be going through the injuries. I mean, it's just like, I guess you don't want it to happen on week 3, but week 14 seems pretty long.
Yeah. All right. The following week is the Jets. We already talked about that. Then December 27th, right after Christmas, they play the Saints. We talked about that. Now, we talked about this off the air, but from November 1st to December 27th, they play one game away, and it's in New York against the Jets. So they are home for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 7 weeks. That has to be a good thing. And it has to be a stretch of the season where they just run roughshod over the schedule because it's in their favor. You have to agree, like, this is where they have to fatten up.
Yeah, I mean, this is that's your chance, right? Let's get it going and get on a roll. Where's that bye? I'm looking for that bye. I can't find it. And then I'm showing a bye in week 7. Why are you showing a bye in week 14?
Because I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins official schedule on their website. It says week 14, latest bye in the history of the franchise.
Well, okay, that is kind of an official source, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. I hope so, unless they're changing things. But, yeah, this is from their website. Presented by Publix, by the way. Everything is sponsored on that website.
Presented by PubSubs.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. All right. Here, now, we left the best for last. January 2nd. In Tannehill. In Tennessee. That's going to be all kinds of fun, right? It has to be. Or not.
I don't know. I mean, Tannehill's the original vegetable lasagna. I mean, is he, even when he's doing really well, is he really that exciting?
But that team is good, and they've added some pieces.
The team is good, but they lost.
We're good, right? And this is a late.
They added some pieces. They lost a big piece to the Patriots, actually. Jonnu Smith. I think that's going to be kind of a big deal. We'll see, but, you know, I don't know.
But it's a shutdown.
They also lost Arthur Smith. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, they're good. We think we're good. Like, this is the showdown in Tennessee. Like, it's kind of important, you know?
I can see Tennessee being a disappointment this year.
Okay. Yeah, you know, well, that would bode well for Miami if that's
the case. It would.
Okay, and then they close the season at home, which is always a great thing. Okay, you always want to close at home. They play the Patriots. Is it going to mean anything for the Patriots? Are the Patriots going to be good this year? Like, there's so many questions in that game. That could go so many ways, right?
It could.
Where, like, are we going to be seeing Cam Newton? Could be.
Are we going to be seeing Mac Jones?
That's what I'm saying. Cam Newton could be what I think he's going to be, which is just, you know, a guy who's fading. He looked like he was fading last year. Yeah. And he could be completely done by that point. And we're playing Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think, by the way, they have all the, you know, although I hate this, by the way, when they do that strength of schedule. Dolphins have the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL. Like, you know, that's based on last year's win percentages. That will change this year.
Well, Some teams are bad. Why don't they just calculate it based on next year's win percentages?
Right? Because they haven't happened yet. And I understand how that could happen, all right? Because, look, because you go through this and, all right, they're playing the Jaguars and they're playing the Falcons, right? But both of those teams could be a lot better than what they were last year, and I would submit to you that they probably will be. So right there, it's getting skewed a bit. They play the Jets twice. So you see how this win percentage thing could start, you know how it's probably playing tricks on this easiest to hardest schedule thing. So, yeah, I wouldn't bank too much on that. Some of these teams, like, you never know. Maybe the Saints are great. They have a lot of talent. They just don't have a quarterback. But maybe one of those quarterbacks steps up and he's great. Maybe Deshaun Watson plays. but you said not a chance in hell, right? So
no, not a chance in hell.
All right. That should do it for our preview of the schedule. Next week, we'll talk a little bit about the team and what the draft picks and what the offseason acquisitions will do or how they'll fit in. And then we have a hiatus, the same one we have all year.
Wonderful.
Every year. So.
Oh, that sounds great.
That's it. There is no more. By the way, before we go out, you're going to London October 17th or no?
I don't think they're going to let me in. I don't think England's going to let me in.
Are they going to open up like ever? Or we're going to send Ron DeSantis over there.
Yeah.
We'll run in for prime minister.
We'll send him in. Actually, I'll just send him in as a decoy so that I can sneak in.
Are you going to go watch Tom Brady, your boy, October 10th, destroy our team?
No, I'm not. I'm pretty confident in saying that. No, I'm not.
So you're not going to go sit in the stadium to watch that. But you could be watching the Dolphins dismantle Tom Brady again.
I could. And maybe I shouldn't dismiss it, but because I'll dismiss it right now. And then I'll be like, yeah, I think I might go to that game. Yeah. So we'll see. But
all right. That's it. There is no more. Talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.